Rosebud has so many meanings. Tom, did you take your allergy pill today? Cause shit's blooming.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast streaming live on Digital Stream Radio. You can listen live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. On today's show, we welcome back with us Dr. Evan Goldstein for the segment Tales from the Tale. It's a monthly segment that we do with the great doctor where he talks about great stories about, you know, his blog. And so we're super excited about that. We're going to have more on that on the second half of the show. And as always, with me are my amazing co-hosts, starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all, Nick or Trish.
And
good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And welcome you all to
The Dish.
So there's so much to talk about, so much to...
Can we just address the fact
Tommy,
that...
Tommy, here's your Benadryl.
So, thank you. Let me pop it. Let me wash it down with some vodka.
Here's another.
Oh, give me three more. No. As you can tell, I'm very nasally today. I woke up and I've had this congestion and I can't breathe and I'm trying to like catch my breath just going through the opener.
And the first thing she thought was, let's hang some plants today.
Right? No, I did that yesterday. During the day. But yeah, so it's just crazy. Welcome to the Northeast. Everything is blooming. Talking about blooming. Mm-hmm. And I have a very interesting segment on the second half of the show.
Like I said, so many meanings.
And talking about the Northeast, we bitch about everything.
Sorry. And you're probably going to hear me cough throughout the show. I apologize in advance, but you know, when shit happens, it happens. So anyway, so we've got some stuff that I have a very, very amazing story to talk about, but we've got other things that we're going to talk about. But Chris, you're going to tell us what we're doing for a cocktail today. What is our suggested cocktail?
Right, just because, you know, there's not enough herbs in the air making us all congested and everything, so we decided why not throw it in our cocktails as well, just to, you know, keep the theme going. Cool. Also, there's another theme. I had jury duty today.
That's right.
Yes, I didn't get... They sent us all home, but... So I wanted to go with like a courtroom kind of themed cocktail. It was kind of tricky to find one, but today we're going with the Lady Lawyer cocktail.
Lady Lawyer.
Yes.
Explain.
The Lady Lawyer is a delicious cocktail, and it consists of fresh mint leaves, which we like to use mint here, ginger liqueur, Tom's favorite, nice American dry gin, but of course he's substituting vodka, and then some fresh lemonade. So you add the mint leaves and ginger liqueur to a cocktail shaker and muddle gently, Trish.
I know. Gently.
Add ice, gin, and lemonade. Shake well until it is mixed and cold and strain into a rocks glass with fresh ice and then garnish with mint sprigs. And it's delicious. It's nutritious. It's got ginger, so it's even good for your tummy.
It's a salad. We're adding in a another.
What are the health benefits of our cocktail today, Chris?
It's a salad in a cup, pretty much. It's got mint, ginger.
It's got ginger, so it's good for your tummies. Yeah. So we added another ailment to be taken care of today.
You're a mess, and that's why I love you. So much going on with you this week. So you had jury duty?
I did.
Right? And you just wrapped up this semester for school?
I did.
How did you do?
I think I did very well.
Okay.
I think I did very well.
And I keep saying this, but I'm very proud of you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
It was time for you to go back to school. Well, start school, period.
I even said that earlier. And you know how annoyed I've been about the whole school thing.
It's been a lot. I know. But it's nice to be able to come and hang out and relax with my boys. And, you know, I'll be back here for the summer.
It's nice to have you show up somewhere and not be like, I'm so tired. I'm so stressed.
When I left school, it was a beautiful day on Thursday, and I put the top down, I was driving, and I just screamed. I was just like, woo! When I drove out of the garage that day, I was like, I'm going to chase this feeling. Whenever I'm stressed out in the many semesters to come ahead, I'm going to remember that feeling of what it's like for the hard work to pay off.
Just
one semester.
Yeah, I guess I have to keep in mind that you've never done college before.
No.
This is your first
time. It was my first time, so yeah. And I worked hard, I stressed out, but it seemed I don't have all my actual final grades, but I calculated it and it seems that I did very well. And I can, I plan to continue to do very well.
I'm proud of her.
Right. But, you know, see, your experience is different because you're going on campus. I'm actually doing most of it online. And so I my advisor reached out and said, hey, you know, you haven't signed up for the last 2 months. What's going on? And I'm like, well, first of all, I'm paying for my education. So I don't have to go through financial aid and get, you know, stick on to a schedule. So I'm going to come back in the fall. Is that okay with you? Because I've got so much going on, you know, with the show and with work and the bar and
buying a house
and buying a house and all these projects. I was like, I have no time to sit down and concentrate on school. So if I'm not going to be in it, I'm not going to just go because you want me to. So I'll get there. You know, don't rush me. I don't care if it takes me 10 years. I'm going to get there.
Preach, girl.
Exactly.
It's so great. Funny story, though. So today, me and Chris decided to go for lunch because we haven't gone for lunch in a while.
Uh-huh.
Because he's been in school so much.
I hate you
but
both,
he had
by the way.
Jury duty. And so we get there. we get out of the car and he goes, you know, I knew I was going to be dismissed. And I was like, why? He's like, because I got there. And then all of a sudden I was like, I kind of want to do this. And my response to him was, I knew you were going to say that. I knew it. Like, you are the one person that is excited for jury duty.
I was not excited to get there that early, but I was sitting there and what's it called again? Voir dire. We're the only state in the country that does it where they can individually interview a juror. Attorneys can individually interview a possible juror to get on the case. And I was like, you know, ready for. And they're like, why do you want to be a juror? And I'm like, because it is my duty as an American. I was like, I was ready. I was so ready. And I'm like, you know what? The second I realized I wanted to do this, they're going to keep me there an hour past when I'm supposed to find out what's going to happen. And then they're going to send me my ass home.
Yeah. Like usually when I go through that process, what ends up happening is they'll tell you a little bit about the case and then they'll ask you if you have been in similar situations. And every single time I say, yes, I got into a car accident. I was hit and it hurt and I was injured and all this stuff. And they just like, yeah, we don't want you on the paddle. Goodbye. And that's how I get out.
But I want it in.
That's out there now, Tommy.
Yeah. It ain't going to work next time.
You're going to be sat down by a lawyer and they're going to be like, but you said this on your podcast. Yeah. So I need proof.
But here's the thing.
Tally it up.
Thank you. They don't pay you what my job pays me to be at work and make that money. So I'm like, no, I'm not going to lose a whole day's worth of pay to come up in here. And
that's what I was saying earlier. Yeah.
And like, listen to other people's stupidity and their inability to just follow the law. It's like, get with the program.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Innocent until proven guilty. You can't assume that they were.
Not in a Trump world. Sorry. It's true. Don't look at me that way.
Anyway.
Lord have mercy. All right. So we've got some stories. Now that we've got all of our weekends and everything and all jury duty and all that good stuff out of the way, why don't we talk about some of the things that are happening that happened throughout the course of the last week? Again, I'm sorry, I just can't breathe, but I'm going to try. So, I was astounded to read the story that I'm about to talk about now. I was going through some of the stories on NPR, and I came across this story that states that the story actually is written by Sasha Engber. And I can't breathe.
G's are hard right now. Yeah. G's are hard.
All right. Anyway. Thank you. Pakistan has actually passed a historic transgender rights bill. And that caught my attention. So I started reading the article. And basically it said that Pakistan's parliament passed a landmark bill on Tuesday that gives the country's transgender citizens fundamental rights. And when you start to think about this nation, this is Pakistan, right? This is part of the Middle East. We've talked to Patrick Dunn about this before where he mentioned that, you know, Turkey is actually very progressive when it comes to transgender individuals. But when you think about the Middle East as a whole, gay rights just don't exist, right? And so it really took me aback that Pakistan, a country like Pakistan, could actually pass any legislation that would benefit the transgender community.
But didn't Patrick also talk about how progressive the country actually is?
Well, he was talking about Turkey, right? Because Turkey doesn't have gender-specific laws, right? Their laws.
Their language. There's no masculine or feminine words. It's gender-neutral, the Turkish language.
In general. So as a result, you know, there is no real black and white when it comes to the LGBT community, specifically surrounding the transgender community.
And they keep all religion out of government meetings. Religion is not allowed in government. Like you said, women Correct. Or men have to remove all headdresses. Headdresses is not the word, but any headwear that, you know, when they go into the parliament, they can't have any kind of religious insignias or anything on them. Government is completely separated from church.
Which is, you know, truly the way it should be for right. most democracies.
Because, even though they have somewhat of a dictatorship right now, but...
Yes. But, again, I thought that this was amazing. So basically what it says is the Transgender Persons Protection Act allows people to choose their gender and to have that identity recognized on official documents, including national IDs, passports, driver's license. The bill also prohibits discrimination in schools, at work, in public modes of transportation while receiving, public modes of transit while receiving medical care.
This is crazy. I haven't read up on this article, but a lot of this got spawned because a 23-year-old transgender activist who was shot 6 times died in the hospital after the medical staff taunted her and deliberated over which ward, either men or women's, to treat her in. Therefore, she died because she wasn't treated in a timely fashion. And then similar things have also happened there after the fact and before that. That's insane. I mean, I guess in their hospitals, like in our hospitals, I don't think that they would necessarily separate you out for man versus woman. If you get shot 6 times, you're going in and you're getting fixed. Like they deliberated over where to put this person because they were being assholes.
Yeah, but aren't there similar bills going on in the United States or bills on the opposite in the United States where people can deny medical attention? Maybe not in emergency rooms, but can deny medical attention for people on religious freedoms.
Correct. Yes, there have been bills that have been proposed.
Right.
But that being said, that is a huge problem. This is, I think, a little bit different though, in the sense that we're thinking it's not one individual. Like one doctor could say, "No, I don't believe in helping this person because I am anti-gay or whatever," but I'm sure that there's not that that's a good thing, that there's another person or a policy within that hospital that would prevent that from happening if somebody was shot 6 times. Mm-hmm. But in this situation, this person died because they were taunting them and not giving them care.
Well, again, and going back to the story, Milab, I believe Jamil, is an activist in Pakistan who helped write the bill. And she heard about it when the story came out and when it was announced that it was passed. And she was like, "I was in a state of shock. I never thought something like this could ever happen in my own lifetime in Pakistan." And again, because of where this is originating in, this is such a huge thing because we're still navigating transgender rights in our own country. We have a Middle Eastern nation who passed legislation protecting LGBTQ individuals, specifically transgender members of our community. We still have a president that literally doesn't want to even allow transgender folks to participate or become part of our own military and to help defend our nation and our rights.
And I don't understand his agenda there. Like, why does he keep going back to this transgender stuff? Like, why does it keep going back to it?
Because are you aware who is running mate and now vice president is?
That's
probably a definition.
You know, and I have a theory though. I think that every time Mueller gets close to something and it's about to make news, he goes out and says something outrageous.
It's fucking,
and he does it
smoke
to distract.
Yeah.
And so this whole transgender ban for the military, to me, was his attempt at distracting from the narrative that was out there.
It just makes me so angry that you're going to use an entire community, and a community that's been oppressed so much, as a distraction by oppressing them even more. Like, that's absolutely horrible.
This vodka is not working.
But there are but on our side, there are strong, hardcore Republicans who have stood up and said that these brave men and women should be treated as the heroes they are. Well, but according to one White House official, it's okay. He's on his way to die anyway. So,
yeah, that was pretty tragic. Let's talk about Sarah.
It wasn't Sarah. I can't fuckably stand her.
Yeah, but she's the one so the news reports that once that was said in one of the press briefings, mm-hmm. right, they were talking internally in the White House, that it leaked. Five different individuals from that press office leaked that statement to the press. Mm-hmm. And she went on to say that she was more concerned about the fact that five individuals actually spoke with reporters and leaked that information rather than to condemn the message to begin with. That, you know, you don't talk about someone who served our nation in the military, who served in our government for decades, and who has been instrumental in passing many bills that helped the American people for the better. And then there were some that he did that weren't so good either. But my point is, he is a public official who has served. He is a public servant who has served this nation the way it's supposed to be done. And you don't go talking about somebody's disease and their impending death as a means to dismiss their views and how and their experience in our lives.
Right. But I also have an issue with that, with what was said there, huge segue here, with what was said there with the whistleblowers and the ones who went to the media, because when this White House official said what she said about Senator John McCain, this was in a closed meeting with about, I think it was two or three people. It was very small. It was a very intimate setting. And with this whistleblower going to the media and spreading this, all it was doing was hurting John McCain's family. It didn't benefit anyone. All it did was harm a direct group of people.
Yes, and I agree. But it also exposes what these people think and what their thought process is in regards to the public and how they deal with media stuff.
I understand that, but it almost makes me think that whenever someone's upset, people say things that piss them off and that make them angry. And I feel like this is causing much more harm than it's causing good.
But here's the thing. If you are in a position of power or in a position where you're having that classified conversation, if you are in a bad mood or you're pissed off or whatever, you are in a position to protect the people, and the fact that you could actually, that would slip out of your mouth, even out of anger or argument, that's not okay, because those are the people that the people are putting into power to protect us. Mm-hmm. So that statement,
we didn't put those people into power.
Not us, but that's not my point.
They put the president into power.
Right.
He hired these people to run his administration, and they're doing it in a way that is just not conducive to how we've done business in the past, with integrity and with, you know, we need to be able to say to people that we're putting our best foot forward and helping the American people. And I don't think that's what these individuals in this White House is doing.
And I know so many people that have joined the military, you know, as a career. Trans, not trans, gay, not gay, doesn't matter. It's a career. They're not joining because they're going to go and die. Like, that's not, I mean, there is a risk factor when you join the military, any branch.
But there's also an opportunity for you to be able to have a successful career and be able to retire from the military. They pay for school. I mean, there's so many advantages.
They pay for women to get boob jobs, but evidently, transgender is too much money.
Yeah, you're just mad because you can't get yours done for free.
Whatever. That's keep all. The boys happy. Let's give the women boob jobs. But if you want to be a boy and you're a girl, we won't do that surgery. Sorry.
But, you know, it is what it is. But I will say this, though, in regards to this whole Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Hold on, Chris. What is her name?
Sarah Kim Huckabee Sanders.
Okay, thank you. So this whole fiasco. In the end, any conversations that are happening in our White House at some point in time, minutes are supposed to be taken, right? You're serving the public. That's all. All of those conversations are the property of the American people. And whether we found out today or 50 years from now when they declassify any materials, we're going to find out eventually. Mm-hmm. So you know what? The fact that they did tell the press, bravo, because it just really gets the character of what's happening in our White House out now. We don't have to wait 50 years to find out when they declassify documents that conversation actually happened.
And you know what's crazy too is, like, people screw up when they're public speaking all the time, and they say the wrong thing all the time, and they get burned for it, or they get fired for it. But in this case, she's more concerned about the whistleblowers.
Yeah. I mean...
This is absolutely ridiculous, the way that this administration is handling everything.
On that note, I need to blow my nose because, as I said before, I'm very stuffy. So I'm going to play a quick message from one of our sponsors, and when we come back, we'll continue on the story.
Tonight's episode is brought to you by Studio Sweden. If you're looking for an affordable headset with amazing sound quality, style, and comfort, head on over to studiosweden.com and take a look at the selection of headsets available. With an amazing variety, you are sure to find one that suits your style and needs. Use discount code GAYTALK2.0 for 15% off your entire order, and remember, it's free shipping worldwide. studiosweden.com. Now back to the show.
All right. Well, welcome back. I needed that. I needed to get all that out of my system. So anyway, Trish, you were saying, I'm sorry. Before we keep going, it's Gay Talk 2.0. That's the...
You fixed it. It's the Studio Sweden promo is right.
Okay. It's right.
The Benadryl's kicking in.
More vodka, please. Anyway, go.
I don't know. Can I just switch it up? Because I would love to burn a bitch.
Oh,
we all know I love burning a bitch.
Just don't burn me.
I'm not gonna burn you.
Yeah, she has my name. But just...
I mean, we were just talking about people that say things, and they get flack for it, right? Well, who's one of my favorite beautiful blonde, long, beautiful blonde hair women right now that is a. I don't know where I'm going.
Opening
with
her
this.
Trap again?
Yeah, she's opening her trap again.
Tommy Lauren.
Yes, go. I fucking hate that bitch.
Go, go, go. What happened now?
Okay,
what did she say now?
So Tommy Lauren decided that she wanted to go after immigrants again.
Oh Lord.
And she said this, and this is not a gay story. I'm just putting it out there. I just can't stand the bitch. So here we go. All right. So she said, "You don't just come into this country with low skills, low education, no understanding of the language, and come into our country because someone says it makes them feel nice." That's not what this country is based on. These people need to understand that it's a privilege to be an American, and it's a privilege that you work toward. It's not a right. Meanwhile.
In Canada?
No.
No.
In the United States. Brought to you by Germany, actually. This bitch did not do her research because in a 1930 census, Tommy's three-time great-grandmother, who has been here for 40 years at this time, only spoke German.
Oh.
Okay. Her second great-grandmother had been here for 10 years on the 1930 census, spoke no English at all. Her great-grandfather's 1895 baptism from Minnesota recorded in Norwegian. So he got baptized in Minnesota, but it was recorded in Norwegian because they didn't speak English. So her family came here, as so many families did, from
without
other countries to build a life as an American, speaking their native language. That's what happens. They come here to learn, and they will embrace our language. But as ignorant Americans, we should also take it upon ourselves to learn other languages.
Well, here's the thing.
She's a bitch!
Tally it up.
Thank you. I agree with that statement. I can't stand the woman. She speaks a lot of just hateful stuff. But you don't need to speak English to learn or to be able to survive or live anywhere on this earth. As long as you're able to grab something that you need and make something nutritious for yourself and drink water, that is all you need. You don't need to be able to speak English to live anywhere.
I also think it's really important for Tommy Lauren to realize that no white bred American was born in America, because Native Americans are Indian. They're not white bred Americans. So where the fuck do you think you came from?
Oh, all right, okay. Well, with Tommy saying, we don't have to get in the Maslow's laws of hierarchy or anything like that. But like looking, one, first off, Americans get a little less credit than we deserve. And I believe we touched on this on previous episodes. But in Europe, if you were to get on a train and go 4 hours in one direction, you're crossing borders with multiple and multiple different languages. Here, you get on a train, you go 4 hours, it's English. So it's a little different when it comes to learning different languages.
There's a little bit more variation than that. There's English, then ignorance, and then as the further south you go, the crazier it gets.
Well, okay.
That's truth.
You're right about the language thing, but at the same time, if you look at European nations, they're way more adapt to
because they're
languages.
Crossing the borders nonstop. So you have to learn this. You know, you can be in Germany in 1 second. The next thing you know, you're in Poland. The next thing you know, within no time, you can be in Russia.
So
you'd be in Russia from Germany to Russia. You would get there probably quicker than you would from Connecticut to California.
That's
or about
true.
The same time. Yeah. So you're crossing many different cultures and many different languages and inside that many different dialects in there. And of course, English changes across, but it's English.
I agree with you, but don't you feel as though in America, people say things like, they should learn my language, I shouldn't learn theirs?
Well, if they're moving here, yes.
Well,
that's what they're saying. If they're moving,
that's what Tommy's saying.
No.
I don't
that's not what
that.
Tommy's saying. That's what most Americans are saying. If you're going to move to the United States, you should learn English. I agree with
that. But you don't need to know it right off the bat.
No, I mean, you don't even need to know English to be able to live.
And the biggest thing is try. Even, you know, I don't want to always be referring back to when I was in Germany, but when I was in Germany, I spent very little time speaking English. I tried my best speaking German while I was there. One, I was there to learn it. Two, I was in Germany. So I'm not going to assume that everyone can just switch right to my language. I'm in their country. If a Japanese person comes to visit me at my restaurant, he's not just going to start spewing out Japanese and think I can understand him. He's going to try his best to speak English.
How much of all that German you learned can you still remember?
If it's not, I'm not happy about the $2,400 that I spent, and it didn't retain as much, but we'll get there when I get through college. Anyway, what I was going to, back to Tommy or whatever that bitch's name was.
Tommy.
New
and it's
Haven.
Not me, people. It's not me. They're not hating on me.
New Haven is kind of responding to what she said. Today, an art exhibit opened on the green where 52 images of local immigrants are now on display, and they're going to be there for the next couple months. And the image are a part of a series called We Are a Nation of Immigrants. So cities, of course, such as New Haven being an immigrant sanctuary city, are going to start standing up and reminding these people that we are a nation
We've always been.
Since before we were a nation.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's true. So on that note, why don't we go to break? Because when we come back, we have Dr. Evan Goldstein with us. I'm super excited about today's topic, by the way. I don't know why, but I am. But here's some music. And when we come back, Dr. Evan Goldstein.
My head gets caught in the moment, but my heart doesn't know it. Heart doesn't know it. Somehow I'm lost in the lonely, but it's too hard. do I fall in?
All right, everybody, welcome back from the break. Tommy cannot breathe or talk, so I guess I'm going to introduce our guest. So we are welcoming back Dr. Evan Goldstein for this week/month's Tales from the Tail. Dr. Evan Goldstein comes to us from Bespoke Surgical. Hi, doctor. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Kind of just thrown into that little opener there. But
I think I'm going to need a CPAC or something. I'm just all congested, and I'm like, I can't go with it. So I'm going to let Nick take care of it.
I told him to go see the doctor. He's like, but I don't like to take antibiotics. I'm like, girl, you got something going on. You need to go see somebody.
You know, I was waiting for this doctor. He's my favorite doctor. Although, you know, he's not that kind of doctor. I'm sure that he probably could. But, you know, I'm waiting to go see this doctor. How are you, my friend?
I am good. Thanks for having me, as always.
It's a pleasure. Are you kidding me? It's like we love having you on the show. We've had such an amazing time over the course of the last 2 months that we've been collaborating, and I feel that today's topic is going to be very eye-opening for a lot of people, but also very informative, because there's a lot that goes with what we're going to talk about today.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, absolutely.
So why don't we let you introduce what we're going to talk about and then jump right into it.
Sure. So our usual kind of segments go over a little bit of what goes on in my world. And so behind closed doors, a lot of stories happen. And so I try and kind of talk about it in a narrative from their perspective, and then also kind of bring my discussion points into it. So this week was actually, I think it was Troy Sivan. He actually wrote a song based off of my Tales from the Tail.
That's amazing. That's great.
So we kind of timed it perfectly. But this was an interesting story because it created
Did he actually write a song based off your blog?
No.
I was like, wait, that doesn't come on. Sorry.
What's wrong with you, man?
You know I'm blonde sometimes.
She's blonde all the time. Shit.
Oh my god!
I was like, "Of course she's gonna believe this."
Oh my god, you're hysterical. All right, so you know, it's just a very interesting story because, like you said, it is an eye opener, and there's certain things that you or I or many people don't necessarily think is being sexy or engaging, but clearly some people do. So, you know, the act of blooming or the rosebud or basically, you know, popping out all of your hemorrhoids to enhance some element of stimulation.
Interesting. So tell us a little bit about this. This is, after all, very common, correct?
This is what? Say it again.
Very common?
It's common-ish. I mean, you know, it really just depends. It depends on the circles that you roll in. But the reality is that their relationship was built upon this. His partner really got off. It was kind of his fetish in terms of this and playing, engaging, and licking and all the good stuff that we normally do. And there was a little bit of a twist here, right? Because he started to bleed from these hemorrhoids, and from the pressure of pushing them out and engaging this way, there was a bloody episode, which I'll let you read the blog to kind of fill you in on that.
Yes. But
the reality was that it was a conundrum for this couple because on one hand, clearly you should not be bleeding out your ass, right? And then on the other hand, it was sexy for somebody, and it is sexy for someone. So it was us really trying to look at how can we cease the bleeding but continue the blooming.
Right. So this couple,
I just want to say before we go any further that to our friend Tony, who's listening to the show, who just recently had a procedure – Dunn down there. He's listening intentively, I suppose, is the word that I could use. And hopefully he'll be able to get something out of this whole ordeal that he's going through from today's show. But anyway, go.
For our listeners, I want to give a little bit more of a description about this relationship and what is actually happening sexually that caused this for this individual. Can you explain a little bit more about the rosebud and blooming?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, you know, there's many columns of hemorrhoids. We all have hemorrhoids, so it's a misconception that people think hemorrhoids are symptomatic. Are pathologies in and of itself. We all have hemorrhoids. But there are definitely people that have swollen hemorrhoids and are able to create that. So just by kind of bearing down or just by kind of pushing in that area, you're able to bring blood into these hemorrhoids. And it basically looks like, you know, a rosebud. It looks like you're blooming because it's kind of, you know, filling up and engorging with blood. And especially if it's uniform, it looks pretty.
I don't think mine would ever look pretty, to be honest. It'd be more like a fly trap than a rosebud, doctor, but thank you.
God. So,
well, people send me pictures for everything, so who knows? Listen,
I'm a male, and I'm not afraid to say that I watch porn and I jerk off from time to time, and I have, on occasion, come across a couple of, you know, budding videos or, you know, people doing this. And there's also another trend out there that not only are they pushing out their innards, but, like, for example, if they're engaging in unprotected sex and the partner actually ejaculates inside him, they'll push it out and they'll do that yes. at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I think that there's two ways to look at it. One is that from these swelling and swollen hemorrhoids, it's like a pillow, right? It's like a cushion. So from an effect, it kind of changes the area to now depend upon how people really want to get off. So whether or not they're licking or playing, and also just from engaging and penetrating that, it feels different and it stimulates people in many different ways.
So if you're saying we all have hemorrhoids, is the hemorrhoid just a blood vessel around the anus?
Yeah, there's about three columns that are there, but I'm not saying that everybody can rosebud.
Right, no, so. I understand that. Like you're saying, like, I know they swell, but...
Christopher, you have to be talented, okay? I'm just saying.
Sorry, I'm still learning. So I'm just trying to understand, but that's when you say that we all have hemorrhoids, we do all have hemorrhoids.
Exactly, and the mechanism is there for whoever created us, created it in a way that it allows to absorb the pressure. So when we're taking a shit or we're having sex, there's obviously a lot of pressure involved. Mm-hmm. And because of that, if blood is there, it kind of decreases the pressure so that you don't tear or you don't have injury. So the mechanism is a normal mechanism. But if we're pushing too much, if we're at the gym, we're doing too much squatting, if we're having sex too much, all of these certain things can cause the mechanism to start failing. So in essence, a rosebud is, yes, a failed hemorrhoid.
Okay.
But if people aren't bleeding from it and they're not symptomatic where they're not having pain and it gets people off, people love to do it, you know?
So when you talk about rosebudding, I mean, there's obviously when – in this situation, when he goes to bud, right, or bloom, he has to – apply pressure, you know, push.
Exactly.
Is there a higher chance in this case of prolapsing or
that's the
worst? Of course, you know, over time, absolutely. It's you know, the more trauma you're creating over time, that could actually happen. So there's certain things that could happen. One, the blood that goes there can clot and basically called thrombosed hemorrhoid, where it gets super hard. And it's painful, especially because it stretches the skin there. So that's one thing that could happen. The other is bleeding. You know, you could push so much, you tear the fucking and then you're bleeding all over the place, which is what happened in this story, right?
Yeah.
You know, so that can happen. But over time, the more trauma you have and the more pressure, you're absolutely right. You can get that prolapse to the point where sometimes you can't push the fucking thing back in. Right. And then it becomes a huge problem. And then long lasting, because you're pushing so much, all those muscles don't really function the right way.
Right.
So what can happen now is that instead of from a rosebud issue, you're just trying to take a shit naturally, you have to create so much force in order to get it out. So there's obviously a lot of sequelae from it.
So this is clearly, in this couple's case, this is something that they do regularly, and it's not going to stop. And that's why they came to see you. Now, in order for those things to not happen, how do you properly bloom without creating a long-term horrible effects? Is it seeing a doctor on a regular basis? Is there a proper way to engage in this type of activity?
I don't fucking know. Oh my God, I don't know. It's like we don't study blooming, you know?
Bloomology.
Hey, maybe we can find something like on a shelf somewhere on Bloomingdale's, who knows. But is that store still open?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Bloomingdale's.
It's struggling, just like my ass, you know?
So let me ask you, out of all of the things that you mentioned, which one is the most critical and the most dangerous that could happen if someone engages in this activity over a prolonged period of time?
I think it's the prolapse, because as you start to kind of see more and more of that prolapse, the reversibility of it becomes an issue. And so I think that's a major part of it. I think the problem is that it's a fine balance between the mechanism still working and then all the other shit that comes with it, right? So if it now goes to the other side where things are starting to have symptoms of bleeding and clotting and prolapse. So, and you know, the reality is that if you're doing this on a regular basis, in due time, probably something will happen.
Okay.
And, you know, whether or not it's the clotting or the bleeding, and you hope that it's kind of symptoms like this person had, which were simply treated reversible. And then also allowed us to kind of figure out how can we keep this person in the right zone so that he can function the right way and then have his sex world, you know, at his disposal.
So I don't want to scare people away from blooming if that's something you want to do. So I want to ask a quick question before we get into how you treated this patient particularly. If somebody is in a situation where they prolapse or could prolapse, how would you handle that? Is there coming back from it? Like, what's the medical ramification of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the reality is that a lot of them will first start with, like we said, either clotting or bleeding, or having some just symptomatic hemorrhoids where one of those columns, you know, most people have three columns, one of those columns becomes so symptomatic that people start developing issues from that. So, you know, and we'll go through in terms of the other issues of making sure your shitting is an easy process with a high fiber diet, a lot of water, not sitting too long on the bowl, squatting, making sure that you can kind of isolate your glutes from your asshole, right? Try and breathe and not engage and contract your ass, more your glutes, because that's what everybody wants to build up. So it's trying to kind of decrease the pressure in your normal daily life. And then just in your sex world is where you're really pushing the limits.
Okay.
But again, when I'm joking that I say I have no fucking clue, the reality is that it's a really, really fine balance. And for some people, you push it over the edge and boom, right away, it becomes a major, major issue. Whereas others can bloom like motherfuckers all day long. I don't know. It's like, I have no idea how they're able to do it.
Oh, it's like spring in Connecticut. You know, I hung flowers all over the place and then I'm like... congested.
So a prolapse is surgery is what I'm hearing.
No, not necessarily. I think a lot of it, if you're able to kind of do what we said, plus some steroid creams and, you know, anti-inflammatories like Advil or Motrin or certain kind of things to decrease the swelling and also increase blood flow, there's certain things that you can do to kind of get that back up to where it needs to be. But I think it's a bigger conversation, because if you're finally having that happen, then clearly there's a lot of other issues that may be associated with it.
So in other words, you're going to skip spring, skip summer, do not pass go, do not collect $200, go straight to winter and just stop blooming.
You may stop blooming, or you may have other issues that now I need to do. And this will lead us into kind of the surgical world. right. of what you need to do with this. I think that, you know, with this client of mine, it was pretty straightforward. It was a simple internal hemorrhoid, and those are pretty insensate. So they don't really have much pain, but they bleed like a stink, right? And that was why this guy's face, you know, his partner's face was covered in blood and he loved it. But
okay. Go back to episode 5. Me and my fantasy.
Did you guys read my blog?
I did read your blog, but I do not remember. I remember the blood part, but I do not remember the blood on the face part.
It did not sound that scary.
No, but you know, it's you read this stuff, but it's like when you get someone describing it and it's like in your face, it's still just as shocking. So it's shock value.
It is. It's totally shocking. But his hemorrhoid was just internal to the point where we were able to put on a rubber band. So wait, I put the rubber band on it, that portion of the internal hemorrhoid fell off, but and he was still able to bloom yet without having the bleeding.
Okay, so let me revisit that statement. So when you say put on a rubber band, you find the hemorrhoid and you literally rubber band it so tight that it falls off?
Yeah, exactly. And so rubber banding is not for external hemorrhoids, because if I put a rubber band on your external hemorrhoid,
my hairs would hate you.
And you would be like on the ceiling because it's so fucking painful. Okay. So before a doctor usually puts on a rubber band, you kind of use a certain Q-tip in a certain way to figure out where their sensation is, just to make sure that when I put it on, that someone's not going to feel pain. People feel a little bit of pressure when you're doing it, and then for a couple of days after, but it shouldn't be painful. And the nice thing is that exactly it. If you think of my finger, you put a rubber band on the finger, it cuts off the circulation, and then it falls off.
Okay.
How long does that process usually take?
Usually, in the office, putting on the rubber band is super easy. It's straightforward. The healing process, usually about a week, about 5 to 7 days, and then that hemorrhoid will fall off. And a lot of people, you know, you'll see the rubber band when you take a shit, it'll fall out in your toilet.
Do we get to keep that rubber band?
You can, and you can use it as like an earring.
If you want,
awesome, thank you.
If you want to go digging it, I'm like,
or
oh, look.
Ring for you.
Yeah! You're on to me, doctor. You're on to me.
You're so nasty. Anyway.
I just want to clarify, I don't see anything about blood on anybody's face in this blog.
Oh, really? I just read it again. It's on there.
Where am I missing it?
I was like, he showed me. I didn't see anything about that either.
Go down. So, so aside from blooming, what other ass play techniques could lead to failure?
Like hemorrhoids or?
Aside from hemorrhoids, aside from people trying to push out their innards forcefully.
Right? Yeah, anything. You know, I mean, reality is that even though we engage and we all love having sex, most of the time, right, whoever created us, it was supposed to be an exit, not an entrance. So I think, you know, from an entrance perspective, you can have tears, you can have abscesses, you can have fistulas develop, you can have your run-of-the-mill issues surrounding, obviously, the STDs and all of that. So, I mean, I think that... you know, as we engage, we just need to engage smartly, right? You know, really smart and understanding how do you risk assess? How do you lower your risk for engagement? How do you understand the principles behind everything to make sure that you can have it last long, you know, throughout our lives, and we could be bottoms into the grave.
So, yes. So aside from the whole episode with Jack during the last Tales from the Tale, because, you know, we've got very involved with Jack and that the whole process, would you say that lubrication at this point would be the ideal way to go to make sure that anything that you're doing anally can be done in a more safer way?
I think lubrication is definitely a component to that. People still use like butter and Crisco oil or spit, you know. So I think that obviously using lubricant in the right way will assist that. But I also think, like we talk a lot about, is the preparation of understanding your ass, understanding how it relaxes, how does it contract, understanding the positions that you're putting it into. So that you're making sure that you're decreasing pressure. He's laughing in the back the entire time. I don't know. What
So just so that our listeners know, we do have a guest in studio who's just joined us. We had a meeting earlier. Of course, John Picostinen is joining us. He's the executive director of the Connecticut Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce. And so he's listening in to The Great Doctor and having the shock and the time of his life listening to the conversation.
I don't know if he's ever going to come back. Is he going to come back?
Well, I mean, we decided to partner together, so I hope so.
So, you know, he joined us today. We had a meeting earlier, a very productive meeting, and I think we're going to do great things together. But
we went from, like, the Gaza Strip to blooming.
Yeah. Well, it is spring after all.
Yep.
So if someone is going to engage in this activity, what is your utmost, like, your top priority message help me here.
I have the answer. I have the answer for you. He doesn't fucking know.
I know a little bit.
No, I'm just kidding.
So, I mean, I think the reality and what you're getting at is that person that's blooming should be seen by someone like me or someone that's doing this, so that every year we evaluate it. You'll bloom in my office. I'll see the extent of what's going on, make sure that we're not missing anything.
So
what do you want to come to the office? Is that what you want to do?
Yes, me. No, I want to ask you. So have you experienced this before?
Myself?
Yes.
No.
Okay. No. So no. So obviously the patient comes in. When was the first time that you ever made a person bloom just to see if everything was okay?
Most of the time they're coming in because there's a petal or a portion of the bloom that's already blooming. That's permanently bloomed. Oh. You understand?
Gotcha. Trish, so you need to go ASAP.
He has everything. Do you have every pathology?
I guess so. I mean, like, everybody just makes me out to be this, like, sexual deviant gets everything shoved up there. I mean, for all you know, I've got cue balls falling out of my ass right now.
Well, he can push pinballs out of there. No, it's not ping pongs. That's what it is. Ping pongs. You remember Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, right?
Anyway, so I just want to. I want to go back to this actual blog, and the latter half of the blog, you were talking about some ways to prevent or better address hemorrhoids. I was wondering if you wanted to talk a little bit about that with us.
Sure. So, I mean, I think the reality is, like we stated kind of a little bit, was high fiber diet, really making sure that everything is flowing. You know, now the squatty potty is out there and that kind of changes your pelvic angle so that the shit comes flying out super nice. I mean, I think a lot of the things are, how do you decrease pressure? How do you analyze everything that you're doing every day? Again, nobody really teaches us the right way to shit. So, you know, your father was on there, he was reading the Daily News or whatever your newspaper was for like an hour, and you thought that was normal. So everybody should do that. The reality is that no, you know, the process should be like 1 minute or less. You know, shit or get off the pot situation really, really makes sense. You know, you go in, you do your business, and then you leave. Even sometimes standing up and wiping. When you stand up, you're decreasing the pressure. Mm-hmm. You're allowing the blood to leave. So there's certain mechanisms and certain things that you could do, even from bottoming, in terms of how do you decrease that pressure to allow for everything to engage the right way, from shitting and also from sex-wise.
That's definitely important to put out there, because, you know, there were a good 2 years of my life where I'd sit down on the pot, open up Facebook, be there for about 45 minutes. The next thing you know, I'm standing up to wipe, my damn legs are numb and I'm falling down because I've been on there for a quarter of an hour.
And you have a rosebud.
Well, I mean,
probably.
Fly trap, we called it. Fly trap. Fly trap. Nothing pretty about this one.
So, give me a minute. I'm trying to breathe.
Then let me take this. All right. Yeah. So one more question on my end. So we're talking about hemorrhoids, and we're talking about the best way to, you know, handle them in sexual situations. Say you have, you know, say you're constipated, and you want to have sex, but it's happening and you're bum blasting. Is that going to agitate the whole situation as well? Like, how's the best way to, like, handle if you're constipated with hemorrhoids, but you want to have sex? Like, how do you manage that whole situation?
I'd focus on getting the shit out of you first, pooping first, step one.
Sometimes. Okay, doctor. Who's the doctor here?
Thank you for shaming Chris.
You're supposed to go at her.
He lives for that.
Well, here's the thing, right? So because I have been in situations where I've been constipated and I know that I was going to have sex that evening, so I bum blast to alleviate the constipation. That's probably bad, right? That's not the... I guess, I don't know.
Yeah, usually, I mean, you know, most surgeons would say that the best way to evacuate is to do laxatives or something by mouth. So start from that way. Start from the top here and then work your way down. If you're using milk of magnesia or Miralax or something gentle and that's not allowing you to shit out, then yes, you could go for suppositories or enemas. But the reality is that you're right. I think you have to determine what level of severity your constipation and your hemorrhoids are. I tell a lot of people, you know, use a small butt plug or use a toy by yourself after you've bum blasted. Is that your terminology?
It's a medical term. You'll get it.
So shower shot, bum blast. What do you want?
So in other words, Nick, start standing up, work your way down to
Stop
your knees.
Stop bringing this and back to me. This is information we're putting out to our listeners. This is not about my asshole right now.
No, but you were asking the question. I'm just saying, start standing up, work down to your knees. If you need knee pads, I have a whole set upstairs. You can borrow them, etc. And then, you know, do what you got to do. Bud blast. But, you know, a lot of people don't realize that when you use the bud blaster, the only thing you're doing is cleaning out the immediate area that's inside the anus. So you still have stuff in there.
You're right. But a lot of times, just the reflex of kind of getting something shoved up your ass like water or saline or whatever it is creates the effect that kind of that you need to shit. So so it could be a combination of both. But I think the reality is that it usually depends on how good the boy is. So if it's a really good boy or man or whatever gets you off.
Or Jack.
Sometimes you just sacrifice your ass and take the pain, right? I mean, so that's one thing. But the reality is if you have control over the situation, I would say use a small toy and see how you kind of engage that way before you get the big thing in. Because once the kahuna is in, if it becomes an issue, then, you know, it can deteriorate rapidly.
You were saying earlier about being able to control the different muscles between your glutes and your sphincter, right?
Super hard to do.
You were saying that and I'm sitting here like doing my Kegels and I'm like, no, I don't think I can do, I can't separate it out. Is that a bad thing? Do I need to work on that?
No, it just means you're not really a great bottle.
Dr. Goldstein!
Well, at least until you go see him. Then maybe you will be. She's done.
He left.
I'm so sorry.
Oh my god.
So, as always, you know, I really love our conversations because they're so frank, they're so like in your face, and so honest, but also very informative. And we have been soliciting our listeners to engage and ask us questions so that we can forward to you. During our last segment...
Say that. I was going to send it for him for the next...
No, I'm prepping for that. From our last... was it from top to bottom?
Uh-huh, right? Yeah.
You mentioned something. It was literally less than 5 seconds that caused such an uproar of people asking, wait, what is he talking about?
Uh-huh.
It was when you said, who's the doctor here?
So it has to do with a comment that you made about wipes, right?
Okay,
so
yes.
We're not going to discuss it today.
Okay.
We're going to send you over all the questions, and I would like for you to touch base on why you made that comment and what's the reasoning behind it. Because I think it's going to be – I think that a lot of people are going to be surprised, including Trish. It was like – literally, we got emails. We're like, oh, my God. Like, we can't use wipes? No, but so...
I know. I'm so sorry, but I will, on the next segment, talk about it for sure.
Definitely.
And give everybody an update on why no wipes. Unless the Chamber of Commerce is sponsored by...
Chubbs.
Chubbs, yes.
So, no, but, you know, it really did. I was like people started reaching out to us. I was like, oh, my God. Like, really? And then she was just like, why can't we use wipes?
We'll talk about it.
Yes,
we'll talk about it.
So, oh, Lord have mercy. As always, Dr. Goldstein.
I have one more question before we wrap this up.
Okay, go for it.
So we're talking about hemorrhoids. I want to talk about preparation age. I want to talk about home remedies for hemorrhoids. Like, how do you actually take care of them yourself? Because
Don't push them back in.
Are really good. Epsom salt baths. So draw a nice warm bath and hop in there. Put some Epsom salt.
Like enough to make you float. Like a lot of Epsom salt.
It's not the fucking Dead Sea.
Exactly. Maybe for your fly trap.
I mean, come on.
We're talking serious shit here.
The more you put, the more your ass is going to burn. So don't do too much. I mean, you know, a couple of capfuls in there, let it float around, and sit your ass in there. That's really good.
You got it, Doc.
Swish it, and, you know, shake it.
Oh, shake it. Yes, you could shake it. So that's one. The other is Advil, Motrin, ibuprofen, anti-inflammatories. Really great from a swelling perspective, but also if it's clotted, they break down the clot. So over time, that'll really dissipate, and that's quite good. Preparation age, yes. I mean, I think it's a good starting point. The reality is doing a little bit more like either a Pramsone or a Mycort. Those are all kind of different steroid creams. Those are really good to really get that inflammation down.
But those are external, right?
Yeah, it depends. Do both. Remember, there's two kinds, the internal and the external. So they come with those little applicators that you can just shove up your ass and kind of squeeze.
Oh, I only know about the external preparation age, but
no. Oh, we've come a long way.
We can get rid of the inside ones too, Tom.
I've got a new toy to play
and then,
with.
What was the other thing I was going to say? And then, you know, again, I think it's also really making sure that the stool is super, super soft so that the next subsequent bowel movements don't just add much more pressure and pressure to the area so that you're not worsening the condition that you have.
Great. Awesome.
Well, that's your home remedy for your hemorrhoids, everybody.
And as I'm trying to gain my breath, and with that, Dr. Goldstein, as always.
He needs a Z-Pack.
I do. I need something. It is absolutely amazing, as I said before, to have you on the show and come and be so honest and so open about what you do and what people in our community who decide to bottom can actually experience. And we look forward to seeing you every month and seeing that amazing, gorgeous face for those of you that can't see it.
You saw that comment, right, on Instagram?
I saw the comment. Uh-huh. Thanks.
So with that, I want to thank you for taking, again, the time out of your day and out of your professional day to sit and have a conversation, an honest conversation about sexual health and about bottoming and doing it correctly and all the iterations that...
And let all of our listeners know that I'm a bad bottom.
She's going to be really butthurt about that now.
I definitely think so. And if you really need a Z-Pack, just send me in the email your date of birth and pharmacy. I'll send it to you.
Done. That was for Tom, done. Not all of our listeners out there. Just putting that out there. I done. Got you, Doc.
All right, guys. Have a great night, and thank you so much.
No, thank you.
It's always good seeing you.
We're going to forward that email over to you, well, the comments, okay?
Yeah. Anything you need.
All right. That was the great doctor.
Say goodbye to the laughing man in the back.
To our guest, John. Well, Dr. Evan Goldstein, again, thank you for joining us, and you have a fantastic evening.
All right, guys. Take care. Good night. Thanks. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
And that was the great Dr. Evan Goldstein, who joined us again for Tales from the Tail, which is a monthly segment that we do every month to talk about, you know, sexual wellness, specifically surrounding about bottoms. Trisha was about to spill his drink again over his computer.
Hiya.
You know, I want to sort of kind of turn over to our guest, John.
That was great.
Just give me a facial expression. What did you think about that segment?
I have to process it.
There is a lot.
I think it's actually excellent that somebody could come on and be so honest and share their knowledge as a doctor, but also with you guys to ask the questions that are probably going through the average person's mind. I think it's important that everybody knows how to stay healthy, but also to have a good time too.
Well, let me tell you, a lot of the blog is actually, you know, it's very candid. It's also written very in a very informative way, but it's also very funny when you start reading some of these stories. And as you can see, the great doctor, he's very low-key, down to earth. He's not afraid to say fuck and this and that and asshole and shit. You know, and this is not normal language that you hear from your typical doctor at your office. It's not from my doctor.
That wasn't normal language for him. Right? swore I heard a lot more swears this week than normal, right?
No, he does. He does pretty good.
I think that was the first time I've heard motherfucker come from a doctor.
Oh, well, you know, you got to understand. I mean, look at the medium that we're giving him for him to come on and
speaking
talk about this.
Medium.
Medium. Yeah, speaking
exactly,
of medium.
Look at that.
Good segue.
Brings it all back to Trish being a bad bottom.
Why don't you tell the people where they need to go to find out?
If you want to learn more about his blog or Dr. Evan Goldstein in general, you can go to medium.com/@Dr. Evan Goldstein.
Uh-huh. Or you can go to bespokesurgical.com.
Correct.
And book a consultation with a great doctor and talk about your ass issues.
Mm-hmm. Clearly, I've got a lot to talk about. So
we're going to send you there on the Gay Talk credit card in 10 years.
I can't. That was another wonderful segment brought to you by
UnicornBooty.com.
Well, and Dr. Evan Goldstein.
Not really. Just Evan Goldstein. I mean, Dr. Evan Goldstein. Excuse me. He earned that freaking degree. Mm-hmm. So make sure we put that DR dot in there. Mm-hmm. Anyway, what else do we have, boys?
All the things.
So we do have a couple of more stories. Again, I can't breathe, so I'm not talking much. I'm going to let you boys handle this. So who wants to kick it off? Why don't we do Trish today?
No, Chris didn't get to talk about anything the last thing besides school me a little bit. So,
The one story I have in here isn't a very good story, but it's an important story. And then the other one I wanted to put in, Tom put under his notes too. So
it's yours. Like I said, I can't even breathe.
Tom can talk, so we'll go ahead and talk about one of our listeners.
Yes, let's do that.
Yeah, we saw
Don't mention the last name.
Well, it's covered out, so we're okay. You're safe. Yesterday, actually, I believe it was, we got an email from one of our listeners. And as we say all the time, that's one of the most enjoyable things about what we do with the show is the community that we've built and become. Listening to people from across our own state, across New England, across the country, and across the globe. It's just very moving and it's empowering and it keeps us doing what we're doing and looking forward to Monday. No matter how tired we are, no matter how bitchy Trish is, we all want to get here.
Or sick, or blooming.
If Tom can't breathe or the fly traps are snapping, like we just want to get here and be with you guys every week. And we got this wonderful email, I believe it was from California, from one of our listeners. I'm going to go ahead and read it. It says, hello, my name is Brandon, and I'm a 21-year-old college student from California. I've been listening to you guys for a year now, and I just wanted to say thank you for the show. I feel like a lot of people think because you... I feel like a lot of people think that because you live in a state like California, that coming out and acceptance is easy, but there are still cities and households that make that difficult and near impossible. Even though circumstances I am in make it difficult for me to be who I am, this show makes me feel connected and informed about the community, that I am not alone, that there is hope that I can be happy and accepted one day. Thank you for making a difference to a lot of us. Sincerely, Brandon.
I thought that was an amazing message.
It really was.
And again, time and time again, we get these messages that come through our email. And listeners just saying, you know, it may not be much. For us, we don't think it's much. You know, we come here, we sit down around the table, we have cocktails, we go on break, we have a couple of smokes, whatever. But what we talk about and what we want to address on our show is important because we feel that it opens up an opportunity for someone to learn, first of all, about our history, about what's going on in the world, and what they can do to better help themselves and everyone else.
Yeah. Now,
are you going to cry?
No, but I am a little emotional.
Okay.
I just don't ever want anybody to... This kid that emailed us, it hits home a little bit, and it makes me feel reinvigorated about what we're doing here, because I've always said that we want to reach out and give people a community if they feel like they don't have one, and I'm glad that we're doing that. Mm-hmm. And it's also really important to me that people don't ever feel alone, because when you feel alone, that's when people make bad decisions, and I want everybody in our community, outside of our community, whoever, to feel supported and loved. And I'm glad that we can do a little bit of that for Brandon.
And here's the thing, right? We have a phone number, 334-GAY-TALK. If you feel that you need to reach out to someone just to talk. I'm not a professional psychologist. I'm not a professional anything other than just being me, right? Nasally me. But if you want to have an ear, someone to talk to, someone that wants to, you know, you just want to let it out, call the phone number, leave us a message. I can call you back. Trish can call you back. Maybe Chris can call you back. And we could really have a conversation, even if it's about nothing, right? In the end, the important thing is for people to have a means to communicate with someone else that understands who they are so that you can have an opportunity to feel like Brandon feels. That although he's not able to come out, he knows that he can come to this show every week, week after week, and know that he's going to talk or he's going to have an opportunity to listen and learn about things that are going on in our community, even though he can't actively participate in our community yet.
Including rosebuds.
That's important because you never know what people are doing behind closed doors.
And actually, I think he is actively engaging in our community just by listening to the show because
yes.
As a 21-year-old, he's taking initiative to stay aware and be informed.
Right. And that's a beautiful thing. So, absolutely. Brandon, thank you so much for reaching out. And also, I wanted to, since we're talking about emails, Mama Kim reached out to us mm-hmm. and she said she was going to send us something. It's a surprise. We don't know what it is, but I'm super excited. She had asked if we would be willing to disclose our address. And I said, absolutely. You know, here it is. As long as, you know, no psycho shows up at my door, I have a gun. I'm kidding, I don't.
And Dr. Evan Goldstein just sent us butt plug pins, so if it's those, we already got them.
Yeah. So, you know, thank you. You know, this is the beauty of all this. People are taking time. I'm really hoping that it's something that was personally made by her child for Gay Pride, and she just wants to send it out to us. I think that would be beautiful. But regardless of what it is, we're greatly appreciative, and thank you so much for even thinking about us. And being a listener on our show.
Yes. Yeah.
So, sweet. Claps for Kim.
Yes, Kim. And claps for Brandon.
And Brandon as well. Whew.
So, did you want to continue on or do you want me to, can I jump in here?
Is yours a happy story?
No.
All right.
But I have a happy story.
Then you go ahead and say yours and I'll go into mine.
All right, sounds good. Right. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about this hate crime stuff that happened in Florida.
Let's talk about it.
So I guess four gentlemen, Juan Carlos Lopez, Luis, I'm not going to say those right because I can't, you know.
Alonso.
Adonis Diaz and Pablo Ronaldo Roma
Figueroa.
There you go. Have pled not guilty to attacking a gay couple in Miami. So this gay couple, there's actually a surveillance video, and they were walking out of a bathroom. And for no reason, these four boys attacked them. They were punching them. They were slapping them. They were pushing them down. They were clearly, for no reason, attacking these two individuals. That being said, these motherfuckers pleaded not guilty, and there's surveillance of them attacking these two men.
Well, of course, they're going to plead not guilty.
But there's video of them literally beating the crap out of them. And mind you, I mean, they had cuts and bruises. There is no report in this article about hospitalization or anything like that. But the fact is, these two guys were just coming out of the bathroom, and they were attacked by four random people in Miami, Florida. Like, Miami's like a gay mecca. That's scary to me.
Mm-hmm.
They said we were coming out of the bathroom and they started hitting on us, punching us, and kicking us when we were on the floor. They had no reason to. Then they had no reason other than anti-gay. They were saying anti-gay slurs during the attack. So clearly this was a hate crime. Now, these four men can face up to 30 years in prison. If convicted
of the hate crime. That's the thing here, that they're pleading, they're being charged with a hate crime, which they would be facing up to 30 years in prison rather than 15 years in prison if they were charged with aggregated battery charges. So what they're doing is they're pleading not guilty to these hate crime charges. Yes, though there is surveillance video, I can almost guarantee there's probably not audio.
However, there are eyewitnesses that were walking by the attack happening. Mm-hmm. So there is potential of getting, you know, third party involvement in here. But these men should be prosecuted as a hate crime and not anything else.
Right. And that's what the council is going to be seeking, that they're charged with hate crime. But it's going to be with the lack of audio proof. It's going to be harder. Which is, of course, why they would plead not guilty, because they're going to go for these lesser charges. Hopefully the eyewitness accounts can bring some leverage.
Well, here's the thing. It's like, what if you're going to plead not guilty to a hate crime, where is there evidence that it wasn't a hate crime? Where?
They don't have to prove where it was, and they have to prove where it was.
No, because here's the thing. What provoked the attack? Nothing. Two men that are gay were attacked for being gay. There was no interaction before the attack. That's a hate crime.
I mean, do you know there was no interaction before the attack?
There's a video, yes.
Yeah, but do you know that they didn't talk prior to them going into the restroom before going in? You know,
I highly doubt it. There's a group of four men walking up the side of the street and then two gay men walking out of a bathroom.
I mean, I'm doing this all rhetorically. Like, these are all the reasons why they're pleading not guilty. Of course, it's going to lead to this big drawn up.
In the end, they're going to have to prove their either evidence or non-evidence in a court of law, and things are going to have to play out. But one of the things, a message that I have for our community is, be vigilant of your surroundings. Be vigilant where you stand, who you're with, and where you engage in. Because here's the thing. And I
understand what you're saying, but these guys were just walking out of a goddamn bathroom. They did nothing wrong. They were doing everything right. They went to the bathroom in a public place.
I'm not saying that they were doing anything wrong, but what I'm saying is that we live in an America today, right? Trump is president. Hashtag not mine, but he still is. And we live in an America today where it is okay to publicly bash and publicly talk about anti-LGBT rhetoric. Right. And so you have people out there that are emboldened to be able to do stuff like this. And furthermore, these are four Latino men. OK, this is very common in my country. You can walk out of a bar, and if you so even look at a man in a way that makes you seem like you're either interested in him or you're part of or you guys are together and you see a crowd of straight people, this happens often in Puerto Rico. And the fact that these are four Latino men, this is not only a hate crime, but this is also part of what the Latino community breeds and brings up and really teaches their male machismo, the machismo that occurs in Latino communities about homosexuality is real and it's very rampant. And this is a clear example of that. So even though these two individuals who walked out of a bathroom may have not done anything, this is literally taught.
So
individuals.
So I agree with you in the sense that, yes, we should be hyper vigilant about our surroundings and who we surround ourselves with and whatever. But I also think that we need to make an example of these four men. And
absolutely.
They need to be charged for a hate crime.
Absolutely, but we have a justice
cannot,
system
But this
for
cannot
that.
Continue where you're seeing individuals in our community being bashed down. I shouldn't have to. It's just like the conversation I have all the time. I should not have to walk down the street looking over my shoulder, being afraid of what may or may not happen. I mean, yes, people have to do that generally no matter what, but like, that's not how we should live our lives.
But that's the world we live in. And this Correct. Is nothing to do with a Trump America. This has nothing to do with
that.
It
got worse since him.
It's been going on since the death of Matthew Shepard. And we talked about this We talked about this 2 weeks ago when the American Bar Association has been calling for every state to get rid of these gay panic defenses.
It's the legal system
that needs to be fixed here. This is not your race. This is not Trump's America. This is a legal issue across now 48 states. Only two states have barred this. This is a judicial issue that needs to be fixed in almost the entire nation. That's really what the issue is here. And we'll see
what
the conviction comes.
It's judicial, but it's also cultural. You can't deny that it's not. You have four Latino men.
I understand that, but there's so many different... Yes, there's so many different cultures that... Probably more cultures than not that are openly against
homosexuality.
Yes, exactly. But that's up to our judicial branch to put that prejudice aside.
But judicial branch aside, it's still, listen, yes, maybe they'll get convicted and maybe they'll be put away. Maybe they'll be sent an, made to be an example of what happens when you engage in bashing homosexual people or people of the LGBT community and thinking that you can get away with it. But, you know, it will take time before, if Matthew Shepard's death, which was very gruesome and horrible, and we've talked about it on the show, and we commemorate that young man every time his anniversary comes up, if his death couldn't cause an immediate uproar and change.
It did.
And it did, but really has it? Like 15, 20 years later, we're still talking about what had happened, but we still have incidences like this happening, and there are still states that have laws on the books that protect people who attack gay men and women. Yeah.
The laws need to be addressed. Those things need to change. We have to take into account that, you know, hostility will happen no matter what, right? So people will attack people no matter what, whether it's a hate crime or not a hate crime.
It's human nature to ridicule what you don't know.
You're right. The judicial system needs to be fixed. We need to get these panic laws off the books, mainly because in this situation, the panic laws apply in this case.
Well, you don't know yet. They're going to have to wait till the court procedure begins. They can very well use that.
I don't think that it applies in this situation.
Were they in the bathroom with them?
No.
Okay.
But these are all things that need to be addressed. However, a hate crime is a hate crime, and it needs to be addressed as such because it's about bringing awareness to a problem that is still happening. And in reality, a lot of people think that it's not. And it is still happening.
Oh, of course it is. I mean, it's very evident.
And so trying to try them on anything but a hate crime is a slap in the face of the entire community.
Well, absolutely. The hardest thing is it's going to be difficult to prove that this was motivated solely
by hate
on their sexual orientation.
Do you think
That's the hardest part.
Do you think that Matthew Shepard's death was a hate crime?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
How could you prove it?
It was proven because they literally took
But did
him.
He not hit did he maybe he hit on them at the bar.
But the two guys
and that's,
maybe
that's
he
the
did,
same.
Maybe he didn't. But the two guys, when they were describing, once they were caught, when they were describing what they did, they explained why they did it. They hated the fact that he was a homosexual man in a bar trying to hit on them, so they claim.
That's why hate crime,
right?
And that's the gay panic defense.
And so they tied him up to a fence and left him after they beat him senseless to die like an animal.
Mm-hmm. No, I know. Oh, I know. I know that story. I've been to that fence. I know. But anyway,
it's horrible.
So this is super negative. So let's move on to something a little bit more positive. I mean, like, clearly we needed to, this all needs to be addressed and we need to continue to have these conversations. But
I need breath. I need air.
Chris said he had something happy to talk about.
No, I didn't say it was happy.
Oh.
That's why I was like, yeah, you can go.
Oh, never mind. Okay.
All right.
Well, anyway, so we actually had somebody that emailed us about Eurovision, which is a musical festival. Where I guess like a bunch of European nations come together and compete.
But they showcase a lot of LGBT stuff.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess so. This is like the first I'm hearing about it. I'm not sure that, I'm not sure if it's...
China actually banned showing Eurovision, or Eurovision banned it being showed in China because China was censoring the LGBT content.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, but anyway, so recently... a wonderful song was released by Ireland. So Ireland is part of this festival. It's a gay love song, and it's called Together. And it features two beautiful men who are walking the streets of, I believe, Ireland together and doing a dance while the musician Ryan... I don't know. I mean, this is an Irish name. O'Shaganessus?
Chris, why don't you help out? You're our native linguist.
I'm reading about Eurovision.
Ryan Shaganissi's song.
Nailed it.
But anyway, I started listening. I can't pronounce his name, but I started to listen to all of his music. It's amazing. The song is amazing, and it's super powerful. Of course, I cried when I watched it. But like the fact that he's in the semifinals, and this is the song that he brought to be featured in the semifinals at Eurovision is so powerful and so moving and brings so much visibility to our community and to the European community. It's amazing. And what's even awesome, what's even bigger about the whole thing is that clearly he was performing it live, but they had two dancers reenact the music video while he was performing on stage. So these two male dancers were actually walking through the motions just like in the music video that's clearly about a homosexual couple, which is really, really beautiful.
And it was an amazing video. I got the chance to see it. But, you know, I want to give a big thanks to one of our listeners who actually made us aware of what was going on. He actually labeled the event in itself, calling it This Week. This Week, meaning the whole event, is like the Super Bowl for gays in Europe. It's a Eurovision Song Contest. He basically was saying he's currently watching semifinals. Are the semifinals. The second one would have been Thursday, and then the final would have been Saturday, which was this past Saturday. But a big thank you to Xavi. I would assume that's how it's said. It's actually, I would say Xavi, but he spelled it. He said, say it like it's T-C-H-A-B-E-E.
Xavi.
Xavi. And he says it's Catalan. But anyway, he's a listener all the way from Barcelona. So thank you. Muchas gracias por estar con nosotros and for being with us and for writing with us.
And for our listeners, check out tonight. It's a great song. You can find it on YouTube. Again, Together. Sorry, not tonight. Together by Ryan O'Shaughnessy.
Yeah, she's ready to go home and bloom.
But since we're talking about Eurovision, spoiler alert. Netta Barzilai of Israel won.
Good for her, or him.
Her.
Her, yeah. Good for her.
Yeah, and Saturday was the final, and a lady from Israel actually won with her song Toy, a pop anthem about female independence, much needed in today's day and age. So,
Good for her. Especially in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. You know, women are suppressed, and some of them in certain countries just got the right to drive, for God's sakes. So, anyway. So why don't we work on wrapping up the show?
Let's bring this home.
Let's bring it home. Call it a day.
All of our Benadryl's kicking in.
Oh, God. Mine is not. I'm still nasally. But anyway, we've got two more things that we need to mention. I'll let Chris. Nick. Yeah, Nick, I'll you go it. First.
Directions are hard.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. Benadryl. So,
I'll cut you.
Gay Talk Term. This week's Gay Talk Term, of course, brought to you by
UnicornBooty.com. Not really.
Yes, it is. Is Cookie Crumb. Cookie Crumbs.
Cookie Crumb.
Which are cum stains lining the trouser leg? Synonym, decorations.
I like this
one.
Oh,
Lord have mercy.
So this week's Gay Talk Term is cookie crumbs.
So I was reading a story very quickly about a man who unfortunately gets aroused for no apparent reason all the time, and he feels the need to actually go ejaculate, and he does so like 11 times a day, to the point where he actually literally harms himself because... It's not anything. It's actually an actual condition. I can't remember what it was. I remember I was reading
chronic masturbation.
No, it's not anything that has. It's not even sexual. To be honest with you, the body
obsessive compulsive disorder.
I don't know what it is, but either way,
I'm going to stop trying to diagnose this person.
Just the
he mere, just told me I'm not the doctor.
The mere walking and rubbing gets him hard, and he has to go ejaculate. So, you know, when I think about cookie crumbs and think about decorations, I think about this poor man who has to ejaculate 11 times a day, and he's walking the elevator, gets a hard on and starts, you know, leaking, and next thing you know, he's got decorations all over the place.
He's got cookie crumbs.
Cookie crumbs.
Oh, wow.
All right. Well, Christopher?
So, on this day in gay history, leading us to Meanwhile,
in Canada! God, it's been so long.
It has been so long. I was like looking through, I was like, yes, yes, yes! So today, this day in gay history, we're taking a trip up north when May 14th, 1969, Canada decriminalizes homosexual acts committed in private between two consenting adult men with the passage of the Criminal Law Amendment Act of 1968 and 1969. Though, unfortunately, law enforcement continued to arrest and harass people taking part or committing acts in bathhouses. This law decriminalized homosexuality in your own doors.
That is so crazy.
But you even had your prime minister apologize. So, you know,
to the people. A long time later, but still, yes, in 1969.
It's like not that long ago.
Right.
It's crazy. Really not. That's what I'm taking away from this. Like, that's crazy. 1969, my parents were alive.
The Stonewall Riots were happening in the late 60s. Canada, as you can see,
it's just getting decriminalized.
Canada, as you can see, was always a step ahead of the curve. And we have the U.S., of course, who just didn't get it.
Well,
and they
were
still
they, though,
don't get
because
it.
you were saying that the police were still...
The police were still harassing and continuing to arrest men coming out of bathhouses or doing these things in bathhouses. So there was still a stigma and still, obviously, I'm sure, a hatred on some degree for homosexuals. But this was the first time that the government said, you do this in your closed doors.
And we can't.
That's okay.
We're not going to do anything.
No, no. It's more than
and
okay.
And that's the way it should be. These are my four walls. If I want to fuck on every single one of them... That's my problem.
Well, inside them. Yeah, inside them.
Even on them. I don't know. I'll prop myself up in a way that I can make it useful.
All right, so that was it.
The place anyway.
Exactly. It is spring, honey. Spring has sprung in the Ortiz household.
Heard.
So, Tommy.
So, we've got some announcements. So, if you love our show, make sure that you rate and review our on your favorite podcasting service. This helps others know about the show and it ensures that it becomes more visible within our podcasting community. By subscribing, you get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your favorite device or web browser as soon as the episode is published. You can also support us on Patreon. Patreon is a service where our listeners can help support the show with a pledge donation. Donations are collected monthly and can happen in any denomination of a dollar or more. Chris?
Yes, and next week we welcome back once again our dear friend, author Hans Hershey, all the way from Sweden.
Oh, joy.
You and Hans have this love-hate relationship.
But there's like a new bondo going on between them now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's good. And
it's meshing well.
Indeed it is. Indeed, we're filling all the cracks. And we're very excited to bring him back. We're going to bring him on to discuss his new book, Returning to the Land of Morning Calm. And we very much look forward to having you back on, Hans.
So we got a copy of the book ahead of our interview. We're going to read it. And hopefully Hans will give us a very good description of what the book is all about and why we should buy the book.
And hopefully Tom will hit record.
Yeah, no, honestly, he'll just... Oh, my God.
Let's not go there.
He'll probably just come on and slam me the entire
But seriously, since our first iteration of a conversation that we had with Hans when he released Shorts, Stories Beneath the Rainbow, I have read all of his books except for the last one that I started, but I just didn't finish it.
Micronaps.
Disease. Which we had on the website for a while.
That's the name of the book, by the way.
Yes. Yeah. It's called Disease, and it talked about dementia and whatnot. But it's a really good book. He is one of the few LGBT artists or authors that we talk with and engage with on a regular basis. And we love the man, and I think he does great work. So definitely tune in for that show.
Is he, like, paying you for these plugs?
No. Okay. I love Hods. I actually really do love Hods.
Anyway, so thank you to our guest, Dr. Evan Goldstein, for joining us once again for this month's Tales from the Tale. You can check out this and many more stories on his blog, medium.com. And that's medium.com/@Dr. Evan Goldstein. Follow the good doctor on social media at Bespoke Surgical on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
And before you go there, I just want to thank John Picasnita for joining us in studio, having a wonderful conversation. He is, again, with the Connecticut Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce here in Connecticut. And Christopher?
First off, Nick, that's a great point. I can't wait to see the Gay Talk audit. Can we put an rubber on this episode, Tom?
Audit for what?
I want to see who's paying you behind these closed doors. I want to see what's going on. Let's put a rubber on this episode and backdoor deals. As always, our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Nick announces, you can find us on social media. Big surprise. Facebook, Gaytalk 2.0. Instagram, Gaytalk 2.0. Twitter, at Gaytalk20. You can email us at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com. Tom, take it away if you can breathe.
Breathe. All right. If you need to reach out to us, you can just head on over to our website, hit the Contact Us tab at the top of your web browser where you can leave comments, you can suggest topics, submit a question for the cast. You notice how I take my time saying that word now?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Bitch. Anyway, submit a question for an individual host, or you can call us and leave us a message if you'd like for us to answer a question on air. That phone number is 334-GAY-TALK. If you need all of those digits, it is 334-429-8255. Don't forget that we stream live every Monday night at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can access that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. Again, my apologies for my nasalness today. Ladies and gentlemen, that is our show. Y'all have a good night.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.